Hi everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. This week the conversation with Susan Nethercoat continues. We chat about our love of learning and how this helps us to keep up to date on topics like Pinterest marketing and Facebook advertising. We also chat about the importance of being free to explore as an artist and how we both express our vulnerability and multiple art personalities on platforms such as Instagram. And it wouldn't be an art podcast without talking about our favourite suppliers and paint brands. I hope that you enjoy the conversation, and don't forget, if you missed the first part, make sure you listen to the previous episode, which is episode number 92. Before we start, I'd love to share with you a review from one of our listeners. This is from Emma Ward via Apple Podcasts in Australia. Laura and Richie, I've been listening to your podcast off and on for a while now and I love it. Listening to you guys while I paint in my studio is like having two mates around for coffee. In fact, I plan to ask my husband to listen too, as I think he and Richie have a similar knack for being supportive in the artistic process. In brackets, keeping their wives happy. I especially enjoyed your banter with Richie as you talked through the pros and cons of your new studio space, and I can't wait to see some photos. Thanks for being my studio pals and making me laugh today. And I just want to say that I absolutely love Emma Ward's art. So if you hop over to Instagram and type in Emma Ward, I'm sure you'll be able to find her. In this episode, I also chat about my upcoming e-course, Modern Mixed Media, and I just want to gently remind you that you can pre-register for that if you head on over to laurahornart.com/modern-mixed-media. I will be making an announcement about the registration very soon. It will be opening up by the end of the month. All right, let's pick up the conversation where we left off last week.
So I've got a question for you. Like, you've been in business for a few years now and you've had such incredible growth over the last couple of years. And I'm interested to know how you've gone about it and how you've invested in different things to help grow it. Like things like, you know, have you invested in advertising or because you've grown quite an amazing customer base now. Do you want to talk a little bit to that?
Yeah, I can talk about that. It's an interesting question because it does look like I've grown rapidly, but it has actually been quite a long time, I guess, behind the scenes. And I started painting about 8 years ago. Fairly soon after I started, I began sharing regularly. And initially that was through like a blog and then on Instagram and things like that. So I've been putting, I guess, consistent, almost daily effort in for quite a long time. And that's been a huge part of the growth of my business. And I haven't actually spent a lot or invested a lot in things like advertising. That's actually something I'm starting to look at, but not so much. It hasn't been a big part of the journey so far. But what are the things that have helped? I guess doing something towards my business all the time. And so spending time on the art, but also on the business has been very important. And I usually do this in a kind of like a month by month basis. So 1 month I'll be all about Pinterest and I'll focus in on that and I'll learn a few new strategies and I'll make sure I've got plenty of pins on my boards and I'll tidy them up and then I'll move on to something else. And then the next month I'm going to work on my email list. And again, I'll listen to podcasts related to that particular topic and I won't necessarily listen to other podcasts. So I hone in on a subject and that's kind of like a theme of the month. So I'm always...
That's really smart.
Yeah.
That's actually a really smart approach. Yeah, so, I like it a lot.
So at the moment I'm interested in Facebook advertising and I'm only dipping my toe in it a little bit. It's something I need to learn a whole lot more about. So I'll actually go out and I'll search for a few podcasts to listen to, maybe something, a short tutorial I can watch or something on YouTube, and I'll skill myself in that particular area and all the tweaks that I do that month will be around that topic and then I'll move on to something else. And a while back I had a month where I was interested in improving the podcast and I invested in a course and we changed up the podcast intro and logo and we rebuilt the podcasting page. So I work in themes and that's how I keep things growing all the time and keep myself educated about different aspects of the business. So that's one side of it. And the other side is just continuing to put yourself out there and trying out different things. So it might be IGTV, or I ran a vlog for a while. You got to find your, I guess, the spots that you enjoy being on and that work well for you as far as getting, you know, new people, seeing your stuff and bringing new people into your community. So I've always been a fan of communicating consistently. And for me at the moment, that looks like having a podcast once a week, sending out an email newsletter once a week, dropping into my community at least once a week. So I have these, I guess, markers that I have in place that I make sure that I do each week. And it's become kind of routine now. And it's, yeah, that's pretty much what helps, I think.
I mean, what a brilliantly simple formula that you give one area detailed focus for a month and then you move on. And then over time, cycling through that, that's how the growth's happened. I love it because that's pretty healthy way to grow.
And for me, it feeds my desire to learn because I love finding a new little strategy or something like that. So I get very excited about these sorts of things. So yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
It's I think I have that same kind of curiosity of when I learn something, I really just enjoy learning actually. And can I just drop in there? How amazing is it what you can learn on YouTube?
Yeah. And in podcasts.
Really amazing.
And there's so
and
much. Yeah, there's so much good information out there. We're so lucky.
Yeah. And you can actually learn how to do something pretty proficiently without even having invested in any kind of course, really.
Absolutely. And most of my learning has been through just, yeah, Google the topic and find some great resources. And I will say I don't do it in a structured way. It's not like I have a calendar that says, you know, in January I'm doing this, in February I'm doing that as far as my business focus. It comes back to what you were talking about what intuitively kind of comes up and what I feel inspired by that particular month. So it's not planned out, but I try and focus in on something. Once my interest has been piqued, then I'll go, you know what, I'll sit with this for a few weeks and I'll geek out over it.
I'm built very much in the same way. I can't stick to plans or calendars. I've tried them all and they just make me feel like I'm in jail. I have to follow my inspiration and my curiosity and allow things to unfold when I feel inspired to do so.
I will say
it's
though
the that, way I'm built.
I will say though that I run the whole business off Trello. Do you know Trello?
Yes. Yeah, I actually use it. I don't think I use it to the degree that you do, but I do use it. I actually started using it because like you talked about it and I was forever losing links. Like I couldn't keep track of things. And I do use it for keeping track of all of those research items actually that I grab off of the internet. I'm always copying links in there. Like I'll have a Squarespace board and I've got, you know, all the boards for all the things and then all the useful links in case I need to refer back to them. And also I keep inquiries from Instagram DMs there because, oh my goodness, they just disappear like a flash.
Don't get me.
And then you don't know where that
person
goes.
Don't get me started on Instagram DMs.
So crazy.
Oh.
And people ask really complex questions on there. And so I do frequently ask people, look, can you please email me? Because I can't, I'm not like, you know, people that can do the double-handed typing on the phone. I can't do that. Like I'm 45. I'm just not built for it, right?
Yeah, I'm an email girl too, so try and get people to email me. But yeah, I have pretty extensive Trello boards which do actually map out like the whole year, and I have big content calendar for the year and all that sort of stuff. So I do have that. It changes a lot, but that's why I love Trello, because it's all drag and drop. So I can just move things around and slot them into space. But I do at the beginning of the year map out the whole year. So I have each month and what the key priorities are. So I guess I do a lot more planning than I used to. And you know, all the like topics for the podcast and things like that are all in there, and online course ideas. And I have checklists for everything as well, which is very handy as your business starts to grow. So every time I have an online course, I have a big checklist that I go through. I have marketing checklists for the podcast and all sorts of things like that. So that
that's a good tip, actually. There are so many things that come with promoting an e-course. I'll have to make a note of that. I'll create a checklist. That's a really good tip.
Yeah, so I have a big checklist that I use that includes all the little things that you need to do and, you know, things to remember in Teachable, which I know. Are you using Teachable? No.
I am actually, yeah. I was kind of tossing up for a long time between Kajabi and Teachable, and I ended up going with Teachable because it just made sense to me, and I've made it a rule for myself to go with whatever technology feels like is the easiest for me, because it can totally stop me in my tracks when I find something very hard. And Teachable was very straightforward, so I have gone with it.
What's interesting is
that.
And
I'm really pleased with it. It was easy to do. It was easy to get it up.
Because I'm on Teachable and I started thinking about moving over to Kajabi, and then I ended up with the same outcome where I went, you know what, I know how it works. You're trying to like keep things simple and not cause yourself more stress. Taking all your courses and migrating them over to a new platform is probably not the thing you need to be doing right now.
Yeah, and there are more limitations within Kajabi as well in terms of how many courses you can run on a certain plan. And I'd have done quite a few courses which are on Kajabi, which is probably part of the reason I felt drawn over there, because they looked beautiful. But I actually glitched out a little bit, to be honest, on some of the videos and things, and wasn't progressing, whereas I'd never had that problem with Teachable. I thought, yeah. And at the end of the day, one of the big deciding factors was, I think Kajabi is more expensive, but on the same sort of level of, monthly cost, you're limited, I think, to 15 programs in Kajabi, whereas Teachable was unlimited. So that was a big decider too, because I don't know how many I'm going to want to create. And the other big factor for me also is, of course, the other thing that's happened in Australia with the pandemic is our Aussie dollar has dived against other currencies. So suddenly all these American platforms are a lot more expensive. So that was a big factor as well.
There's a lot of things to think about as far as choosing which platform to run with. It's worth spending a bit of time and looking at all the different, like the nitty-gritty of it, like the details, because that can have quite a big impact, especially things like how many courses you can have. Because I'm just thinking now with myself, I have a lot of courses, so a platform that has the option to have unlimited courses is a pretty important thing for me. Anyway,
I don't want that limitation either, because it kind of affects how creatively I think in the future. You know, I kind of feel like, am I using up one of my get out of jail free cards when I might want to save it for later? I don't want to have that kind of mindset. Do you know what I mean?
So I wanted to ask you a question about your art, because we've chatted a lot about business.
I know. We're such nerds.
We are. So I thought that we could chat a little bit about your art and your process. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, because it's quite different from my art, you use very, very bright, saturated colors. They always grab me when I'm in my feed and I see them. And I wanted you to share a little bit, if you don't mind, about what you use and how you approach things in order to keep everything so bright and vivid in your art.
Sure. Yeah. Happy to talk about color.
Yeah.
I will add, though, I have kind of two streams of my artwork, and one is very, very colorful and one is more muted, because they satisfy different parts of my creative being. So, but the color is definitely kind of my core. I don't like using the term core product for art, but it is, since we're talking business, that is the art that people gravitate to most and buy most. So the way that I do it is I use a lot of paint. I use a lot of Golden acrylics. Golden is an American brand of acrylic paints. and I use a lot of their fluid paint, particularly in my base layers, and I use a lot of it. And that the reason I use their brand is because it's very, that has a very high pigment count. So that means that the particles of pigment that are in it in relation to the amount of fluid is very high. And in a lot of cheaper brands, what they're actually doing is filling the paint full of fillers, and you don't have as high pigment count, which actually results in work that isn't as bright and impactful as what you're seeing on screen with my work, because I'm using those very high quality, highly pigmented paints. And I also love to paint using complementary colors, so colors that are opposites on the color wheel, because when they bounce off each other, they give impact. So I have a lot of fun with that always in my art. I'm bouncing between those complementary colors. And what I do in subsequent layers of the paintings after I've done my first layers, I usually switch to heavy-bodied acrylics because they're more opaque, so I'm not getting too much shine through of the color underneath, and that's part of how I maintain the vibrancy of the colors. But it's hugely fun painting that way, and it's hugely fun painting with really high quality paints, even though it is a very expensive habit to have.
I have to admit, I only have a handful of golden paints. I mostly use the Australian Matisse brand. That's the main.
Well,
brand.
I use a lot of those too, yeah. But I tend to. I'm using a lot more of them actually as time goes on. Interestingly, I'm loving some of the variations I'm getting away from some of the more traditional palettes that I've done using the goldens, and of course they're made here in Australia, so. And they do a beautiful job of those Australian colours, don't they?
Yeah, they do have some lovely pre-mixed colours that are handy to have, and they're just gorgeous. There's definitely a few there that I seem to always grab and gravitate towards. That might have to, I almost need to like break a few colour habits.
Well, you know, yeah, it's fun to mix it up. That's actually what I've kind of been doing over the last year and a bit with Matisse. I'm getting more and more Matisse colours in my collection, and I'm using them a lot. And I think they do some of those more subtle shades really beautifully, especially like in the pinks. There's some really beautiful pinks in their range, and that I'm using a lot of at the moment. Yeah, I love them all though. They're all good. They're all good for different things. What goldens do you have?
I've got the Titan Mars pale, that pale pink colour. I really quite like that one. And then I have like an Enanthrodone blue, which I like. And I think I've got like a few like Quinacridone gold and green gold and a couple like that I use from time to time. I do love the consistency of the golden paints. There's something very, especially the heavy-bodied ones, like there's something very silky about them. So whenever I use...
Yeah, they're really fine. They're fine quality. They're a very nice paint, and they're very different. The viscosities of their heavy-bodied and their flow paints are different, quite different to the Matisse, I find. But I use them for different things, like yeah. As a result.
I use a lot of the Matisse flow range so that they're a little...
Yeah, I use that too.
You know, a little easier to push around rather than the really thick, the thicker bodied ones that they have. And I also use the Matisse fluid paints. I like to have it all going on.
Me too. Got to have those excuses for a paint addiction.
It's interesting that you mentioned that you have sort of two different styles of art, and you have sort of the very bright, bold, but then you also have some work that is more muted down. And I wanted to have a bit of a chat about maintaining a recognisable style, but also still having like freedom to experiment, because I do feel like there is a lot of pressure to have a style these days, and it can be almost like stop you in a way from developing and expanding your practice. How do you feel about that?
I think it's important to create a way of having that scope and that space within your art practice and the way that you express your art business through your online identity and wherever else you're representing yourself, to be able to be free to explore whatever takes your fancy. not everything will end up there, but there needs to be, for me, I've deliberately tried to create a container for two very different types of art, because there are times that I want to paint bright and there are times that I do not. And there are times that I do both at the same time. So at the moment, for example, I'm working on a lot of really bright commission work, but alongside that, I'm working on a lot of watercolors, which has sort of been my main painting practice through the whole pandemic period, with really beautiful muted tones. And I've also been making my own watercolor paints from earth pigments. So it's an entirely different vibe, but I want to do it all. So I've struggled with that a bit and sought ways to do that within my website. I do sell more of the brighter coloured work than I do of the more muted tones, but I'm not going to let that be the reason that I stop creating one and letting it have a life of its own within my business, because I feel like that, why would I do that to myself? You know, you can always find a way to be able to express what needs to be expressed. As a designer of a business, you can create containers so that it makes sense for people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think that's a very important point about creating containers or collections or the way that you arrange things so that there is a flow to it all, but you can still have these different aspects, because we all have different aspects to our personality and we're not just one thing. So
that's right. Yes. And my art for me is about expressing and healing and deeper parts of myself that goes beyond the business. And I'm not going to stop allowing that process to take place because I have to create a consistent brand. Because to me, that just feels a bit shallow. And I believe that there's room within a brand for more than one story. And actually, that creates a richer story, really, if you're able to express it and help it make sense for people within the story of how you tell that story of your brand.
I think it is great when you have a few different aspects, but then you go quite deep into each of them so that there is,
I agree,
you know, that depth to it. So you might have these more muted pieces, but you have, you know, quite a lot of them, and you share a bit of that, and then you have the brighter pieces, but people get to see deeper into those few things that you're spreading yourself across.
Yeah,
I like that.
Totally. And I noticed you've been doing that really beautifully over the past little while. Like you had a big foray back into really colourful work a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And it was wonderful to see. Like I love seeing artists go through their little phases, and like, because I do too. And I think that's really the natural way of things, and to move with those different cycles of expression that come out of us as artists, and honour those and honour the winding journey that it is, because that's really what life's like.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It comes back to that honest expression, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, I'm following artists and I'm on Instagram and things, I enjoy just getting an insight into what they're doing, what they're feeling, and I like all aspects of it, you know, the highs, the lows, the in-betweens, the I'm not really sure what I'm doing at the moment. That's what I relate to. So I feel that sharing your experience honestly is more important than having a really tight, curated brand, for sure.
I do too, and I also really feel that as a teacher, it's our responsibility to show that and not pretend that it's all a linear thing, because I think we're kind of encouraged to do that in some ways, and I don't agree with it. I think as teachers, showing you vulnerability is so powerful for your students.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and that's one of the things that I always remind myself now, because sometimes I feel like I'm at a certain point where I should have it all figured out. You know?
Oh yeah.
Like, shouldn't I know what I'm doing now? But I don't. And I go through all these phases just like everyone else. I bounce around, and you know, one week I'm feeling really minimalistic, and then the next week I'm like, no, I want color this week, and I remind myself to just be honest, and it's fine. Like, share what you're going through, and sometimes I just need that little reminder as well, you know, that
and I think you do a beautiful job of it. I always feel like you come across very honestly and transparently in your Instagram feed. I really enjoy your posts for that reason.
Yeah, and I think I feel like I haven't had to go down that really curated path. Like it hasn't impacted upon my business in a negative way at all. Like if anything, it's been a good thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do too. And it's also taught me how to represent my artistic multiple personality disorder. I'm not going to call it a disorder. I'm just going to call it multiple personalities and say that's fine. But like, you know, that is something to navigate in a Instagram feed. Like you want it to flow still. And so through the process of learning how to create a story there, I've kind of learned how to make my way with how do I share my full scope of my creative story online. It's kind of helped me to figure it out, how to create a visual thread through all of the different colors and phases of what I do. And I feel like I do a reasonable job of it, but it's been a good training ground.
Well, I really enjoy seeing in your work, like I've loved seeing you get into the watercolors and how you still get that sense of the nature that inspires you in your work across all the different things. And I love your more muted pieces as well. I really enjoy those.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice to hear. I've been having a grand love affair with my new Daniel Smith watercolors. They really are something else. You're part of the reason I went down that road. Yes. So thank you.
I absolutely love them.
They're just gorgeous. But also making my own paints has been a whole other journey that I look forward to indulging in more, because it brings me even closer to nature in my work. And yeah, that's super fun. Hey, I had a question about you with your creativity. If you could try something completely out of the box creatively, what would it be?
Well, you know what? I think that creatively I'd probably do something quite different from even painting. I have this sort of dream that I'd love to renovate an old property. I've always been really interested in interiors, old buildings. I love gardening. I'd like to do something in that realm at some point. So that's something I've
How beautiful.
Yeah, that's something I've been chatting to Richie about recently, actually, is like, you know what, maybe we could do that reno we've always talked about. So I think if I was going to do something creatively outside the box, it would be around that. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, that really makes sense with how much you vibe with your interiors as well.
Yeah, so that would kind of enable me to bring everything together, all the things that I like in the one place.
Yeah, absolutely. I can totally see that. Well, I think you'd like my house, Laura. It's really old.
I love your house. When I see your beautiful veranda out the front that sometimes you're painting on with your children, and I see that, I'm like, that's what I love.
Yeah, when we moved here from Melbourne, that was kind of the thing. I wanted the really old house that I could really settle into for, you know, the forever house that I could settle into and really work with. And because I do love creating little vignettes around the place and interiors and all of that stuff as well. Well, that's actually becomes a big part of that brand that we're talking about, doesn't it? It's not just the art, it's what's surrounding the art.
Well, that's
that kind of brings it alive in a different way.
Yeah, and I think that's how you have that thread that connects everything. It's actually just you, like who you are as a person.
It is.
And your personality, the things you like, the way that you move through life, what you share, the garden, the home, your children, all of that combines and paints a picture and a story that people get engaged and invested in. And that's probably been one of the biggest learnings for me over the past few years, is that it's really about who you are as a person and becoming confident in sharing that with others in a way that people can relate to you. And those that don't, well, then you're not their person, and that's fine. And that's something that I've realized, is that be you, and then the people that gravitate towards that, they'll enjoy it, and you'll have a beautiful community, and the other people will go to other artists that they feel connected to. And that's just the way it works.
That's the perfect way for it to be, because then you get to just be who you are and not feel pressured to be anything you're not. Because I know for me, whenever I've gone down some kind of tangent that doesn't really feel like me, that's when things go wrong or when I'm just miserable, you know, within the business. So I love what you just said then. I totally agree with that 100%. Just be us. I had one other question for you, which was around what's your favorite medium right now?
Oh, my favorite medium right now is...
Which is a really cruel question to ask when you're creating a mixed media course, which is kind of well, why I wanted to be a bit cheeky and ask it.
Yeah, so I'm creating a mixed media e-course at the moment because it's one of the things that I realized that I just love the most is having all sorts of different things to work with and finding out what happens when you try out supplies and layer them. And even though I guess I'm sort of a little bit minimalistic too, so it's weird how those two things go together because I like to make specific choices about what I'm going to use. I like to have a colour palette in mind, a little bit of an intention with my art, create a bit of a container as I work. But I'm always exploring and trying new things. So as far as the medium though, in my latest work, I have been absolutely loving watercolor, just like you mentioned before. I have found that to be such a wonderful way to bring creativity into your life when you only have little short bursts of time, especially during the pandemic and everything that's been going on. I've found...
Oh, totally. Completely relate to that. It's been the one thing that I was able to actually slip in at the end of the day. And I'm running a new painting as a practice challenge through June when my course starts, which is something that anyone can do, by the way, which is just painting as a practice for a month. And I'm going to do watercolor for that month and just really let myself sink into it because it's so therapeutic.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned earlier, I was coming out of this period of burnout and exhaustion, and working with watercolor is one of the ways that I was able to keep up my creativity and heal during that process. So it's always a medium that I come back to. Like, I'll leave it for a little while, but then I come back and I find it very soothing. And I love to use watercolor in unpredictable ways. And I often use it very saturated compared to what other watercolor artists do. So I squeeze it out of the tube. I don't add that much water. I get very bold colors with it. I like combining it with other supplies, like layering over the top with crayons and pastels and even, you know, bringing in acrylic paint and things. So I get my mixed media fix, but there's just something so magical about watercolor and the way that it puddles and pools and granulates. And I often feel like it does so much of the work for you because you can just slap a bit down and you walk away and you come back and you're like, wow, that's so pretty.
Yeah, especially like those duotone Daniel Smith and the way that they dry. Like, there's this whole alchemy that happens with the way that they're combining those pigments together that's so magical. And the other thing I love about it is you can't control it.
Yes.
You can. Well, I mean, that's the art of watercolor, isn't it? It's like but you can't, it is a medium that does have a bit of a mind of its own. So it's sort of... It feels like a bit more of a dance with the divine for me, to be totally hippie about it. Like, I feel like I'm creating, but something else is creating itself almost. It's really quite magical. And I just love the process. And I love how I feel after it. That's my favorite part. I feel sated. Like, I don't know. It's a different feeling to the big paintings, which are really high energy. It's just different.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I have different kind of materials for different moods. And sometimes I really want that like creamy lushness of acrylic. But I will say that I feel like watercolor comes more naturally to me than acrylic painting. So it's kind of like my going home in a way. Whereas
that's nice.
Yeah, sometimes acrylic I find a little bit more challenging, takes me on a bit more of a twisty road sometimes when I'm working. Whereas
for me, it's kind of the reverse.
Yeah, I don't know. I just sort of found that watercolor came very naturally to me, and it's just that medium that always makes me happy. It's very calming. Yeah, I always come out of it feeling very relaxed and at ease. And in my upcoming e-course, watercolour is a really big component of it. So it is a mixed media course, but it's primarily combining watercolour with other mediums. So watercolour and pens, pastels, stitching, all sorts of things, collage, but watercolour is there all the way through. So that's what I've been digging in deep with at the moment.
Oh, it sounds so juicy, yeah, your course. Yeah. I want to do it. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's been quite a big undertaking. Definitely much more involved than any of the courses that I've taken so far. But we're really proud of how it's coming together. And yeah, I'm excited.
You guys should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was just like a swatching one that you released a while back that I've seen, but the quality of the filming and everything is just beautiful. It looks fantastic in your new space.
This is the first course that we've created, aside from the free course that we put out, but this is be the first course from our new studio. And we've really used the studio as an opportunity to invest in the filming side of things and try and take it up a notch, I guess, which is what I always try to do with any course. And
I bet Richie's loving having a dedicated studio space so he can leave things set up and really perfect all of the lighting and everything.
Yeah, if you give him half a chance to talk about it, he'll talk about it for hours about the lights setup. And
I do really, yeah. I do really appreciate that stuff, because one of the things that I've done in my own studio as I've been settling into creating online content myself is setting it up in such a way that I have tables in places that can stay there to leave things set up. And I have a couple of studio lights in here as well that I use all the time, actually, just to make sure I've got good light that I use in specific ways with filming. And it's a whole thing. Like, if you've got a space that's set up ready to go all the time, that is such a huge part of the job already done. It takes an enormous amount of time to set things up properly.
Yeah, that's another reason why we've been so happy since we moved into the studio space, because it's created this whole another level of efficiency. So we are saving so much time because of the way that we're working compared to what we were when we were split across different spaces and we were breaking things down and setting things up again and just not being in the same space. So we weren't communicating all the time, because Richie would edit in an office. We had a office at a co-working place, and then we had the studio at home, and so we were kind of like spread out, and then we moved in together, and now we share a studio and we're collaborating a lot more and saving so much time. So that's been a big one, a big change in the last year.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I'm so glad to hear it's all streamlining for you.
Yeah, it just takes time though, doesn't it?
It does.
Just little steps.
It really does.
Little steps, bit by bit, always improving, always evolving, always adapting.
Yep. Sounds like a recipe for all good things.
Absolutely. It sounds like life, doesn't it?
It does, really. Like it sounds like a very honest way of being, actually. I really like it. I think it's the way to go. Just chip away and keep trying and new things and, you know, getting rid of things that don't work and seeing if you can improve on the things that do. It really is just the secret to success, I think, is actually just doing the work gradually.
Yeah, just taking one step at a time, improving all the time. And making mistakes as you go.
Absolutely. Just learning. Plenty of those.
Learning from getting stuck in, trying things out, figuring out what not to do. It's just as much a part of figuring out what to do in all of this.
It so is. Absolutely. Oh, it's been so nice to catch up with you again, Laura.
It has. It's been brilliant talking to you. And as always, I've got lots of things that I'm going to take away from this conversation. I'm like a sponge. So whenever I chat to anyone, I soak it all up and have all these little light bulb moments that happen for weeks afterwards. I'll be like, that's something that Sue said. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. So nice. So
hopefully people,
I feel like that all the time.
Hopefully we've been able to share a few ideas that people who are listening will be able to put into place or test out and try out and see if it works for them.
Oh, I hope so. I love sharing on through the podcast. It's such a beautiful way to connect with people and to just share the things that you're learning along the way. It just makes the whole thing more meaningful, doesn't it, to be able to pass along some of that hard-won wisdom. Sometimes it's wisdom, sometimes I don't know what it is, but hopefully there's more wisdom than not.
I'm just remembering how when we chatted on my podcast, you hadn't actually released your podcast yet, but it was something that you were working on. So it's
I know. It's so, this is episode 28.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. It has flown.
It's so brilliant to be able to chat to you again and talk about what has happened since then and how things have evolved. We'll have to do it again.
We will. I love catching up with you. Good. There's always so much gold there. Well, you have an absolutely beautiful day. And yeah, I look forward to chatting with you again sometime down the track.
Me too. And I just wanted to wish you all the best with your course. It's open for pre-registration now, isn't it? Starting in June?
It is. Yep. Yes, it starts on the 1st of June. So it's still open for pre-registration until the 31st of May. I'm offering 20% off, and that's with practice 20 at the checkout. So people can go and check that out if they want to over at susannevicottstudio.com/online-classes. It's a lot there, but and you should tell us about yours as well, Laura. Please tell us about mixed media. Have you opened up registration or are you at that stage yet?
No. So for this course, it's a bit different to my others. I am opening up registration for a limited time only. And I will be announcing it very soon when that date will be. So it is one that people do need to keep an eye on because it will only be available for a limited time. The course is called Modern Mixed Media, and you can pop your name on the list so that you get all the details when it opens for registration if you head on over to laurahornart.com/modern-mixed-media. And that's where you can sign up.
It sounds so beautiful. I can't wait to see what it looks like. I'm on your list.
It will be a six to seven week course. So it's a big one, lots of juicy stuff in it. So I'm very excited about it, and I'll be drip feeding bits and pieces about it over on my Instagram over the next few weeks as we finish off the last few bits and pieces and pull it all together.
Oh, well, good luck with that whole process. I know it's a big one, but I know you guys are going to produce something amazing.
Well, thanks, Susan. You have a lovely day, and we'll chat again soon.
You too, Laura.
See you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks everyone for listening in. I hope that you enjoyed this two-part episode with Susan Nethercote. I encourage you to go over and check out Susan's website. You can also find all the links that we mentioned in this episode in the show notes at laurahornart.com/thepodcast/93. I'd love to hear your feedback on the format of this episode. It's something that I'm interested in doing more of, bringing back artists that I've spoken to on the podcast and finding out what they've been up to. So let me know if that's something that you'd be interested in. And of course, a great way to do that is to share a story over on Instagram. And make sure that you tag Suze in that story. Her Instagram handle is @susan.nethercote. So it's susan.nethercote. Well, that's it for this week. I hope that you'll tune in again next week.